The message tonight is Joseph's bones and other bones also. Chapter 50, verse 24. I want to read several scriptures to you, so be patient. Verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. But God will surely visit you, and bring you up out of this land, unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, Exodus, turn to Exodus, chapter 13, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, and verse 19, when he let them go, it says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Now Joshua 24, verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and they became the inheritance of the children of Joseph, and so forth. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. Now, let's look at John chapter 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross upon the Sabbath, for the day of that Sabbath was in high day, asked of Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers, therefore, came and brake the legs of the first, and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his leg. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. And he that had seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you also may believe. For these things came to pass that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith Joseph, when his end was nigh, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Joseph, when his end was nigh, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, God has put some strange things in the scriptures, things that we would never think of putting there. But having put them there, you tell us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. We thank you, our Father, for these scriptures about Joseph's bones and other bones as well. And we desire to be edified this night. So prepare the hearts of those who are here and empower the lips of him who speaks. And we confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And I spoke of Joseph's bones and other bones because, as you've seen already, there's so much in the scripture about bones. It's important, from what I read to you about Joseph, to understand something about the faithfulness of God. Most of us are wondering if God will be faithful to us in life. Joseph was certain that God would not only be faithful to him in life, but in death as well. If I'm alive, I can try to manipulate things. I can beseech people. I can try to get things done. But when I die, but Joseph, when he gave that request, gave it not wondering if the spirit was willing but the flesh was weak, but he said to them, God will surely bring you up out of this land, and when you go, I want you to take my bones with you. And he said, swear to me. And they swear. Now, think. So is Joseph, and he died, and was buried, and he waited 100 years, 200 years, and some say up to 400 years. But after 400 years, on the day that the children of Israel left Egypt, they said, we must take Joseph's bones with us. Think of that. You're fleeing for your life. Pharaoh wants to destroy you. And they say, we cannot go without taking Joseph's bones. A man can trust God in life, and he can trust God in death as well. Joseph did. Now, his father Jacob had made a similar request. He said he'd come down into Egypt when he was 130, and he had lived there 17 years, and he made his son Joseph swear to him that he would not be buried in the land of Egypt. So when he died, in 70 days of mourning, and then Joseph went and requested of Pharaoh, may I take my father and bury him in the promised land. I swore to him that I would do that. May I do it? And so Pharaoh said, yes, go. So Jacob only had to wait a few days before his request was fulfilled by his son, Joseph, the dependable son. But now, the request that Joseph made, his son, Manasseh, Ephraim, they were there, and they died in Egypt, and then their children and theirs, and all the generations for hundreds of years died. And so quickly are you forgotten. The things that you wanted in life, the things that you requested your children to do for you, how quickly they're forgotten. But after all of these years, when the time came for Israel to leave, they said, there is one who's been wanting to leave longer than we have. And think of this. When Joseph made that request that his bones might be taken, with it, he gave this assurance. God will surely visit you and take you out of this land of Egypt. And so think now. Just as in Russia, their leader was under glass and people could go and look at him. Long lines go by and look at him. Well, think of this now. Joseph had been embalmed and they had mummies thousands of years old. And so here is Joseph embalmed in a coffin in Egypt, and every time the Israelites would look at that coffin, they would remember, this man said that God is going to deliver us and take us to the promised land. And so think of the first generation, and the second generation, and the third generation, and the 20th generation. And it says in Israel, they were groaning under bondage for hard labor, from Pharaoh. And so think of those after 100 or 200 years. They would say, you see this mummy? This is Joseph. And he made a promise that we were going to be free from Egypt. And we've been slaves for 200 years. And yet, as long as his bones were there, they were reminded that Joseph had confidence in God, in death as well as in life, and in God's time, just as it says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time God sent forth his son born of a woman, and the world waited some 4,000 years before he came. And so here, they only wait a few hundred years. But the time came, and when the time came, Joseph could have said to them, I told you that God is going to deliver you, and I knew that God was going to take my bones out when I made you swear to me that you would take my bones out. I'm so glad he had that confidence for this reason. My mother, before she died, said, son, I have a request of you. She said, when I die, I want you to be sure that I have a headstone at my grave. And she said, if you do not put that headstone there, I will come back and haunt you. And so in just a few days, I went out, chose the stone, gave them the information, and evidently she's satisfied because she hasn't come back. But I'm talking about those that were requested to do something to Joseph, and they are dead and gone. And if you look at them, his direct descendants, it would be his great, 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 you go on and on. But when the time came, his descendants saw to it that he was taken out of Egypt. Now, having done that, I want to remind you of this. In Joshua 24, when the land is being divided, there is a place that is reserved for Joseph, and it is called Shechem. Jacob had the place he wanted to go. Joseph did not request any particular place, but they chose Shechem, and it was a very good place for this reason. At Shechem, his father Jacob had erected an altar there. And at Shechem, his father Jacob had demanded that his family get rid of all the idols and amulets that were among them and bury them. And so when Joseph was buried at Shechem, the memory of his father's casting away idols and building an altar with which to worship God, those were his reminders. And therefore, Shechem was a good place for Joseph to be buried. Now, so important is it that when Abraham did something that was worthy of commendation, it says over and over concerning Abraham, by faith Abraham, and then it says, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, and then it stops. But we have four generations that had faith, and of all things, it says that Joseph had faith, and he made mention of his bones. And this is the thing that is of the greatest importance to me. You never realize it, but there was no one more exalted in the land of Egypt than Joseph, except Pharaoh. Pharaoh told him, when he interpreted his dream, that I am making you ruler over Egypt. You will be answerable to no man except me. Now think, if you've seen these monuments in Egypt, think of this man that was the savior of Egypt and the world at that time. Think of the monument, the memory that would have been his in Egypt. But instead of that, he said, all the glory that should be mine, all the praise, all the eulogies that could be spoken concerning me, I do not want them. I want to leave all of this glory. I want to leave all of this praise that would be mine. And I want you to take me into the promised land and bury me where you were. Now that is the challenge to you and me. Suppose you and I, since we were in the military, could be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And they would put this great monument, John Milton Mills, fought in the Second World War. And there I would be, you see. So Joseph could have had things like that in Egypt. But instead he said, they mean nothing to me. Think of his wealth, think of his position, think of his glory. And he turned his back on it, and he said, I want to be a part of God's program, and I want to be where God's people are. And God saw to it that he was.
And so he exchanged all that was glorious for something that was of no importance. Because when Israel went into the promised land, though God had given it to them, he said, it's yours, fight for it. And so they went into a land that they had to claim, and when they went, Moses was dead, and Joshua had taken over, and soon there would be this judge and that judge. But Joseph said, I want my lot to be cast in with the people of God. So I want you to think of this, all of you who want position in the world, who want wealth, who want fame, I want you to know that there was a man named Joseph who had more than you will ever know of. And when he had it, he said, it's nothing. I want to be the people of God. And what Satan does is this. He destroys people's souls by showing them, as he did the Savior. He took him to a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them in a moment of time. And he said, I will give them to you if you will fall down and worship me. And the Lord Jesus, just as Joseph earlier had turned his back on Egypt, all the glories of the world, he said, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And it says the devil left him. Why? Because there was nothing that could grip the heart of Jesus Christ. Nothing of this world. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work. Father, glorify thy name. That is the heart of Jesus. And the heart of Joseph also was, I want to be with the people of God, and I want to do the will of God, and I want to be where the promises of God are being fulfilled. Think of your life. Think of what you are not sacrificing, what you are, how you are hindered because there is something of wealth, there is something of glory that you want, and it's challenged in Hebrews 13. Jesus suffered without the camp. It said, let us also go forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. And Joseph was prepared to go without the camp, and to leave all the glory that was his in Egypt, and to go to the promised land, because that is where God wanted his people to be. And so, you think of this. When you would be somewhere else, and the world will give you more glory, give you more wealth, they will respect you more. And what would happen is this. Some would leave the people of God and go down into Egypt. But there's some like Joseph who would leave Egypt and all of its glory, and he would go to the promised land. This is what God would have you to know about Joseph. Now, I've wondered about being able to trust God in death. It says, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Well, I've been saved for over 50 years. Now, unless our Lord comes, now is my death nearer than when I first believed. And you think that God has made a promise concerning my bones, as well as Joseph's bones. And concerning that promise, at times, and I saw recently two pictures, I saw starving Africans, and they were dead, and there were piled up piles of dead bodies, and I saw pictures of the Holocaust, and I saw piles and piles of dead bodies, and I looked at them, and I said, how could God know every man that is in that pile of dead, decaying bodies? And my concept is this, that I'm one of a few hundred million, and my concept is that when I die, God is going to take care of my bones, and I'm trusting him in death as I have in life. I know this, that when I look at multitudes, I say, how can God know? But then, when I, as an individual, think, I'm able to say to David, God knows my down city. He knows my uprising. He knows my thoughts afar off. I'm convinced that God knows all about me. And you look at multitudes and you say, how can you know about them? But I know that God knows about me. And also this, Joseph's bones were preserved. He was mummified. But not all of us are. And yet, I'm sure that whatever happens to my body, just like Job said, I know that when my body has been eaten by worms, yes, I shall see God. And so, that is the confidence that Christ has given us concerning our bones. You say, well, let me ask you this. Suppose, instead of having a place of burial with a headstone, how do you know that when you die, God is able to find you and restore life to that dead body? Because the Lord Jesus told me two things. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he said this. He said, the hour cometh when all that are in the tomb shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. And the thing that I have done that was right in my life is to look unto Jesus Christ as Savior. He's been lifted up on the cross, and he's cleansed me from my sin. And that is the thing that shall make it that when Christ utters his voice, I who have done right, I shall be raised from the dead, and he's promised me a body. These bones that shall decompose, he's promised me another body. I think of this. Some are burned until there is nothing that remains. I think of Hiroshima, when they dropped the atom bomb, nothing left. And so you say, well, what can God do in that case? How strange. The God who brought this universe into existence out of nothing, and then having made matter, took the dust of the earth and formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, I think that God who did that shall be able to take whatever, wherever it is, that is left of me and give life to it. Because is not God omnipotent? And so this is what God would have us to understand, that no matter where we are when we die, because we would like to be where God could find us, this old Jew was nearing death, and his son came to him and he said, Father, he said, when you die, where do you want me to bury you? And he said, Son, bury me where you please. God will be able to find me. And that is the consolation. It doesn't matter. I know where I would like to be born, that it could be buried in the same city that I was born, and there is a grave there, and my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my father and mother, all of them are buried there, and I would like to be buried there, but it makes no difference, because who knows? You know the day and the place of your death, but it makes no difference. If the Lord is looking for me and he says, well, I came from Milton Mills in Raleigh, but he's not here, I can't take him to heaven. Do you think it will be that way? No matter where you are, God can find you. Did not Adam and Eve try to hide from God in the garden, and he found him? And as it says in Jeremiah, why do you think that you can hide from me? There's nobody that I cannot find. That's terrifying for sinners, but it is a comfort to the people of God. And so, as Joseph, by faith, made mention of his bones, so in like manner, God has made mention of my bones. And I know I'm going to have bones. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, and he presented himself to the disciples, they thought it was a ghost. He said, look at me. He said, does a ghost, does a spirit have flesh and bones? And I am told in Philippians chapter 3 that when he comes back from heaven, he's going to change my vile body, my body of humiliation, and conform it to his glorious body. And so the body like Christ is going to be my body. I'm going to have flesh and bone the way that Christ did. And so God is going to take care of my bone. Now, I read to you about another one, our Savior, and God made mention concerning his bones. It says, and you can look at four places, you can find it in John 19, that's the fulfillment of prophecy, and concerning not a bone of him shall be broken, you'll find it in Exodus 12, and in Numbers 9, and you'll find it in Psalm 34, and it's so beautiful. It says concerning the righteous, that God keeps them, and not a bone of him shall be broken. And that is why I read to you in John chapter 19. Do you realize that our Savior came that close to having his leg bones broken? But it was impossible for a bone of Christ to be broken. During his lifetime, whenever men tried to destroy him, he would pass out of the midst. He had ways of escaping. But our Savior is dead now. And as Joseph trusted God in death as well as in life, the Lord Jesus trusted his Father in death as well as in life. Not only his bones, but he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." And Christ was dead precisely the length of time that God wanted him to be dead. And not only so, but it seems as if man would destroy Jesus Christ. But when Pilate said, "I have power to release you and I have power to crucify you," the Lord Jesus said, "You would have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above." And these soldiers come and they want to break the legs of Christ, and it was impossible for them to break his leg. And when they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, it was impossible for a spike to break one of those bones. And when he wanted to take his spear and break the legs of Christ, it was impossible for him to do so. He said, "Oh, this man is already dead. Well, just to make sure." And he took his spear and pierced his side, and there came out blood and water. It was impossible for the nation of Rome to break one bone in the body of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it had been prophesied, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And in like manner, God has told Jacob this when he told him to go into Egypt. He's 130 years old. He said, "Jacob, you go into Egypt, and I will go with you." And he said, "And I will bring you out of Egypt." But he said, "Your son shall put his hand upon your eyes," telling him he was going to die, but he had a son that loved him and would care for him, and that God would do through the instrumentality of Joseph what he promised him. And so Jacob trusted God in life and in death, and Joseph trusted God in life and in death, and our Savior trusted God in life and in death, and that is what he expects us to do. Do his will, and God will fulfill his promise. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." That is the promise of God. Now, something else that I want to bring in, because the subject that I chose tonight is most apt, because I want to tell you about another Joseph's bone. My great-grandfather's bone. Because a few weeks ago, Joseph's bones were moved from the family graveyard that was being run down and would be plowed over and disappeared, and Joseph's bones down around Holly Springs, North Carolina, were brought up to Oakwood Cemetery in Raleigh, North Carolina, because my great-grandfather's name was Joseph Mills, you see. Wiley Joseph Mills. I told you I was going to talk about Joseph's bones, and this is the coincidence. But what is so remarkable is this. When it was discussed about removing his bones, we thought that he would be removed and put into the cemetery, and that would be the end of it. But a remarkable thing happened. When his bones were to be removed, somehow the sons of the Confederacy heard of it and knew that he was a soldier in the 26th Regiment, Company D, and they said, "What?" And they said, "We will take over from here." And so all of these sons of the Confederacy went down and exhumed his body, got every artifact, got the fragments of the bones that were left, and this is what happened. I never dreamt of anything. Somehow, they were having a convention in Raleigh, and 150 or 200 soldiers dressed in the uniform of those that were in the war between the states. They were all converging on Raleigh, and they said, "What we're going to do with this man is to put him in a special coffin, and we're going to put him in the rotunda of the state capitol, and we're going to put a guard around him, and then we're going to put him on a limber, and we're going to take him out at Oakwood Cemetery, and here are hundreds of soldiers marching behind my great-grandfather to take him and bury him at Oakwood Cemetery." I said, "How on earth could this be?" I assure you that my grandfather never said to John A. Mills, "Now, son, when I die someday, you're going to have an expensive cemetery plot in Raleigh, and I want you to..." Never thought of that. He felt he would be buried there, and he would die there. Well, he received the surprise and an honor that should have been given to a general or some high-ranking officer, and he was nothing but a private. But here are all of these men, and someday you must see the video of it. I couldn't believe it. And so I saw it and I said, and who is that man? That's your grandfather. They're moving his bones and they're placing him with all the Confederate soldiers and they gave him full military honors. Rifles were shooting, cannons were shooting. And I said, what on earth is happening? And they transferred his bones from one place to another. Now, he never thought his bones would be moved from one place to another. And I would think now his bones will stay there until doomsday. But I do not know, and you do not know what's going to happen to your bones for this reason. There are some that had high positions in life, political positions, religious positions, and they were buried in pomp. They were given great memorials. And yet, when their enemies came to power, they were exhumed and burned and cast into the river. And so you never know what's going to happen to your bones. And so that is why I'm so glad that God is He who buries people and nobody can find Him. But He has never been unable to find anybody that man has buried. Nobody's ever found Moses' body. Why? God said, I buried it. You'll never find it. But He's never been defeated in not being able to find a body when He wanted to. You see, when Moses, whom He buried, when He desired to have Him present on the Mount of Transfiguration, He went to that spot and He said, come, Moses, we are going and I'm going to let you see my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is He who takes care of all of these things, and we know not what's going to happen to our bones. But it makes no difference, because ultimately my bones are going to be with Jesus Christ in heaven. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And if He's in heaven, I'm going to be there with my bones. And if He's on earth, sitting on the throne of His father David, I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be wherever my Savior is. And so my bones are safe, and I'm trusting Christ in death as well as in life. And so in one sense, it really doesn't matter about what happens to your bones, but it's what happens to that soul within those bones. And the thing is this, that if your soul is right with God, He will take care of your bones. But if you have taken care of the bones outwardly, all of these material things of life, and your soul is not right, I know where your bones are going to be. The Savior said that. If you've done right, you will come forth to a resurrection of salvation, eternal life. And if you have not done right, you will come forth to a resurrection of judgment. And so ultimately, the bones of the wicked shall be in hell, and the bones of the righteous shall be in heaven. I know where Joseph's bones are. Where will your bones be? Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful that You take care of our souls, but You take care of our bodies as well. You have said, meat for the belly and the belly for meat, but God shall bring them off both. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And God both raised up the Lord Jesus and shall raise up us also with Him. Father, You have promised that this body of skin and bone shall be raised. And we will not be so foolish as some who brought questions to Christ and said, how can there be a resurrection? He simply said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. But we know the Scriptures, and we know the power of God. And so, our Father, from our hearts, let us cast ourselves upon Christ and receive the promise that thief on the cross did. Lord, remember me when Thou comest in Thy kingdom. And Thy Son said, verily I say unto Thee, today shalt Thou be with me in paradise. Father, may this promise to the thief be the promise to us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.